18th chapter of Luke's Gospel. Let us pray as we read and approach God's Word. Lord God, we thank you for your Word today and ask that as we open the pages of Scripture, that the stories of Scripture will draw us in to hear once again, through your Spirit, the words of Jesus Christ. May his stories, the stories told about him and the stories that he tells, change us and move us in a way where we follow you more and more from day to day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income." But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord endures forever. The philosopher Jean-Paul Sartre once said that hell is other people. You see, he was an existentialist, and he thought that people were trapped in a false life in this world, especially a life that might be imposed on us by other people. His outlook was pretty bleak, and he was wrong. Hell is not other people. God wants us to see other people as bearing the image of God, and not placing too much faith in ourselves and looking down on others. That's why Jesus tells the parable that he does today. The audience is very clear. It's for those who think too much of themselves, who think that they are righteous and better than other people. In many ways, that may be us today who need to hear this story and this message. Now, there are a couple of words that this passage uses, the story uses today, that I believe we need to think about more. The first is the word justification. It's interesting how we use this word justification today. Usually in our lives, it's used negatively. Like we came up with an excuse or a justification for what we did after the fact. It's usually an explanation or an excuse. But the word justification is the real word before God today. How we stand before God in a state of grace. It means to be put into a right relationship with God, to move from being unjust to just. It's not a state that we can give ourselves, but only God can give it. It's the prerogative of God's grace and mercy. No one deserves the kind of forgiveness and justification that God gives, but God gives it anyway. And so Jesus tells this story because he wants the disciples and the people to understand what it is like for God with people when they pray. We can only imagine what it's like for God to hear our prayers. And so in this story, we find ourselves on the outside looking in. And we see how God sees the people praying in the temple. But there's another word that we need to talk about here, and that's the word contempt. We think of contempt as being a word used in court, right? You're in contempt of court. You're doing something that the judge doesn't want you to do or that's against the rules. But contempt is also an emotion. You know contempt. You've seen contempt in this world. In one of the marriage videos that I show, or the premarital videos that I show at the show, they call contempt one of the four horses of the apocalypse for marriage. Contempt will ruin a marriage. But you've seen contempt. You know what this emotion looks like. It looks like, I'm going to do the one that I can do, which is eye rolling, right? If you see eye rolling, you know you've experienced contempt. The other one is one that I cannot do, which is to raise one eyebrow up and leave the other one down. Many of you can do this contempt expression as well. I think the best person who's ever done this gesture was Mr. Spock on Star Trek. Leonard Nimoy had a great, what I call is the eyebrow of scorn. Spock was not supposed to have any emotions. He was supposed to be, suppress his emotions and be scientific and emotionless. But somehow, whenever the humans did something, his alien eyebrow went up with scorn at what the silly humans were doing. Today, in this passage, we're confronted with a parable about grace and forgiveness. So let's talk about the forgiveness, and then later challenge ourselves with the contempt of the Pharisee, because he's the real audience of this story. First, the tax collector was considered an automatic, unredeemed sinner in his own day. The only way that the tax collector could be redeemed in the eyes of the people around him was to give up his job, give up all his money, confess his sins, and then he should be able to turn to God. Only then. He was a real sinner. No debate. We have to ask ourselves, who is this person in our world today? Who is the one that we loathe and think there's no way they can come before God? Maybe it is someone in prison. Maybe it is a tax collector today. Maybe it is someone who does things that's against what our society thinks is right. And so we have to ask ourselves as we read this story, who is this person in our world today, and how can we show them kindness and point them toward reconciliation with God? Because this is the real point of Jesus' message and of God's message in the gospel, to reconcile those who are sinning. The tax collector knows God and wants to be reconciled to God, and his prayer is simple. It points out his real issue and deals with it succinctly. The tax collector comes to the temple and comes before God and humbly asks one word, forgiveness. The tax collector knows what he's done. He knows how he's cheated people. He knows how he's made money when he shouldn't have. He knows how his position is viewed as betraying Israel. And so he comes and asks God in a very simple and humble prayer. He says, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. This is the purest form of confession that there is. This is the purest form of saying oops before God that there is. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God definitely hears this prayer. Humility is his stance towards God. Humility is what we see in his words and his actions. He stands far off and waits for God. I think this tax collector is faithful even before this scene, because he has faith that he can approach God and be forgiven. And I can imagine that he's struggling in his life to do what is right. Maybe there's hope that he will behave rightly, that after confessing and sharing, that he will change what he does, that he will share his wealth, that he will treat people fairly. But the first step to this is confession and forgiveness. We each have things to confess, and we have a process of change that God walks through with us. Each of us can put ourselves in the position of the tax collector. Anything that you need to confess and repent of, to change your mind and your action, God supports and wants you to find others who will walk with you through that change. You are not alone. God's people should and will be with you. And God definitely hears your prayers, even if they don't. But let's get to the real audience of the story. The real audience of this parable is the Pharisees themselves. And this Pharisee that's in the story thinks really well of himself. In the imagination of his hearers, people in Jesus' time would see a man with, get this, musical accompaniment, people following him in a train, and the town crier in tow, talking about how great he is. As he's come to this place, he probably wouldn't even have had to announce it himself. He would have paid someone to announce it for him. And so getting to the center of the temple is the culmination of his journey. And this is the right journey for the wrong reasons. This is the key to understanding the Pharisees. Jesus said in his own teaching about the Pharisees, he said, "Listen to every word that the Pharisees say, but don't do what they do." Why? Because they're hypocritical, or as one person in our Sunday school class said this morning, they are nitpickers. And they were nitpickers for everybody else. It's the right journey for the wrong reason. Going to the temple, whether this is the Day of Atonement or Passover, we don't know, and it doesn't matter exactly. The Pharisee has come to let God, and more importantly, everyone else, know what he has done. He's more joyful in this prayer, not just for what he's done, but he's even more joyful about who he's not. And this is really sad. As he says, "I'm not unjust, I'm not an adulterer, I'm not a thief." This prayer is not a prayer of oops or thanksgiving even. This prayer is a brag. We might call it today a humble brag. He misunderstands the grace of God for something making him better than others, instead of as forgiven as others, equal to others in that forgiveness and goodness. He doesn't thank God for delivering him from his sins, for bringing him to this point. He thanks God that he's not like all the other mistakes that God made. I'm sure this prayer probably made God really mad. He also does all the right things for the wrong reasons. He fasts when it's not needed. He tithes and tells people about it. Yet he doesn't tithe in gratitude to God. He fasts and tithes to prove something, to earn something from those who are around him and from God, and to show that he is better than everybody else. The Pharisee has this emotion that we talked about before, contempt. And God does not want us to act like him. Tithe and give out of joy, and because it's the right thing to do, not so others will know. Fast and pray to grow in faith, not to prove how holy you are. But here's the truth. The truth is, most likely, that the Pharisee in the story is the one that we're most like. Think about the story of the prodigal son. When we think of the story of the prodigal son, we think of the young man who takes the father's inheritance and goes into the other country, repents, and comes back, and the father receives him back. But there's another son in the story, and it's the older son. The older son is outside, and he begins to whine, saying, "Dad, I did everything right. I've always stayed here with you. Why don't you throw me a party ever?" And the father says to him, "Well, you just never really asked." And so as the father is throwing the party for the son who's returned, the elder son is on the outside looking in. And we don't know at the end of the story whether he actually goes in to the party. Jesus leaves that story open-ended. The Pharisees are like this person, and we are often like this person. We've been in our faith for a long time. We've been on our faith journey for a long time. And sometimes it tempts us to judge others and to puff ourselves up. This is why the world often thinks of Christians as hypocrites. Listen to all the words that they say, but don't do what they do. They talk a good game, but they don't live a good game. Having a genuine repentant faith is one that reaches out genuinely to others, especially to those not like ourselves, those people that we judge unworthy in this world. But real ministry is ministry that reaches out to others who need God's love. That means those that we often call sinners in this world, those who might be judged for their station in life, or where they have wound up. God is there for them especially. The ones who need God's forgiveness more receive more forgiveness. But they're all forgiven. God is asking us in our faith and in our walk with Christ to drop our contempt and to have compassion and humility in the face of God and others. To realize that the image of God is stamped on all people and that God is calling us to see that image and to realize that we're sinners like them as well and that we've been forgiven and so can they. That's if you see yourself as the Pharisee in the story. Maybe you're one who sees yourself as the tax collector. Maybe the tax collector feels more like you. Then know this. Know that God loves you too. That there is no sin too big. Nothing that can separate you from the love of God and Christ. You can always turn back to God and walk in humility. The simplest prayer. The simplest asking for forgiveness, the simplest calling out to God. Just as the prodigal son was received, all those who call upon the Lord will be heard. And all those who ask God for forgiveness will be forgiven. So today, know that there is hope. There is no one who is too great a sinner among us. There is no one who is too great a sinner in this world. Jesus Christ died for all. Not just for one, not just for the few, not just for the best. Jesus died for everyone, and especially for those who were sinners. And so today, may we turn to God and humbly pray wherever we stand. Lord Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner. Let us pray. Lord God, we ask you for forgiveness with the simple prayer that we approach you as sinners. And we ask you to expose the times also when we may think more of ourselves than of others. Forgive us for that sin as well. For you are calling us all into new life and to a new community of forgiveness, reconciliation, and hope. Hope that at the center of this community is Jesus Christ, who forgives us and gives us grace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.